welcome to the Royal Priesthood Nation call tonight. And your host tonight is Khalif Zefnef Pahania L. And I see that he is on the board with us. You're here, right, Khalif?
I am here.
Thank you. Take it away, sir.
Well, we thank you again on this evening for coming to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Line. We are excited tonight. We have what we consider to be an interesting night tonight. We have Dr. Asar Harpi. We have, of course, Aladia Bey and the Honorable Dr. Deborah Blair. We're excited. We have some special guests as well. We're thankful for Abednego L. There with us in Shreveport, in the Shreveport area. And I'm excited tonight to have with us, as we broadcast here live tonight from our southern location here in the city of Greenville, Mississippi. And we hope to have one of our local brothers here with us shortly on the line tonight as we fill up the room. We're going to start tonight with some interesting topics and subjects. At least we think that they're interesting. There's been some activity going on in outer space, and there's some activity going on in inner space. So I have Minister Benaiah from the Bay Area there in California with us tonight, who's going to assist us tonight, as well as Abednego L. And I'm looking for them on the board right now. I'm looking for them to come in at any moment. I don't know. Let me have a moment here to look across the board to see if they are here. Well, I don't see them here right now. But they are supposed to be in the room tonight. So how are you doing, Aladia, tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
You're doing fantastic? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Keeping watch on all the things going on around the country that are really crazy. But
well, we're waiting on a couple of our hosts tonight that are going to help us tonight. I'm looking for Dr. Blair on the line. I don't see him just yet. And Dr. Harpi, are you there, Dr. Harpi? Dr. Asar Harpi. Well, he's not on the line with us either, but callers are steadily checking in. And for those of you that are in the radio audience, we're excited about you as well. You can call into the live call by dialing 712-775-7085, and the participant code is 56788#. Again, that's 712-775-7085. And the participant code is 568788. Okay, what's interesting going on around the world? You said there's some news happening, so catch us up on some of the things that are going on.
Well, I'm referencing the fact of the Ferguson, Missouri case where the grand jury is going to be handing down their decision, I'm told, at about 11:30 Sunday morning. And we have some interesting developments as far as protests being organized all around the country in a lot of cities, 70-some, I think. One group is organizing. Al Sharpton is organizing in 25 cities. And I guess he's supposed to be with the family at the time that the determination is made public. The schools were notified this afternoon there in the Ferguson and St. Louis area because they're supposed to, some law says they got to give them 48 hours in cases like this. Anonymous is in on all of this, saying that if the police and the KKK don't play nice, then they're going to, I guess, start releasing a bunch of information that they've been able to hack off their various websites and Twitter accounts. And then we have President Obama, at I think supposed to be right now, I'm not sure if it was Eastern or Central time, but they're supposed to be, he's announcing amnesty for 5 million illegals. And he just happened to choose their Revolution Day, which was a bloody revolution that happened in Mexico years ago. I think it was in 1910 to 1920 or something like that. I find it interesting and curious that he would pick that day to announce this amnesty. So that's kind of around the country, quick 5-minute synopsis there.
Wow. What about the What about the global reset and all of that was supposed to happen today? I got some emails and some information that something was supposed to happen today, as it relates to the banks and the Treasury and all of that. Do you know anything about that?
Well, the funny thing is that, yes, it was supposed to, but it seems to keep getting pushed back on a daily basis now. And, you know, the main culprit that's always blamed is the Obama administration, IMF, Christine Lagarde. I mean, take your pick. I don't really know what's going on with that, other than to say that it sounds like a broken record. It's the same story, different day. Maybe one day perhaps we'll wake up and it has happened. But, you know, there's also some other interesting things going on with China and Russia, too, but I'm not even going to put that out there because I think we just have to...
Well, you already mentioned it, so you may as well tell us what you're talking about.
Oh, you mean as well, I don't know if these people want me to talk about that, though. But supposedly, Russia has the codes, which China and Russia work together through the BRICS. But they have the codes to all of our grid system to shut it down all at one time. I'd say that'd be a really big party, wouldn't it? Let's see, we have protests, which could easily turn into riots all over the country. And now with Obama announcing 5 million amnesties, he's bypassing Congress to do this, which is illegal. But that's what he's going to do. Because don't think for 1 minute that Congress isn't in on all this, too, ladies and gentlemen, because they are. So, you know, it's like, wow, take your pick. They really got, as I hate to use this old term, but they're stirring the pot really good. They're making sure this one don't fail like the Trayvon Martin incident. They didn't get any momentum, couldn't get any traction on that one, but I believe they might have something going on for them now. They need this. They need the chaos in the country, or they're finished. They're broke. In the sequester last October, the reason why they're not worried about any balanced budget right now, that's just all pablum up there, is because they don't have any money. They weren't able to make their payment to China last October. That's the real truth. And I have investigated that to know that that's true.
Wow. So we
They've just been living in fraud this past year.
China with Russia and having keys or codes to shut down our grid. Then we have protests being organized around the country. We have an immigration bill. It looks like a lot of things that are happening in inner space and a lot of activity that's going on the planet. That could be a cause for great concern and in some instances even great consternation and contemplation for many, maybe even trepidation. But we have some news, not from inner space, but from outer space. I was waiting on Abednego L. He had a piece he was going to read for us. I don't know what has happened to him on tonight, but I was going to read you a piece that we had gotten concerning some activity that's going on the planet Uranus and what's happening out there with some of the magnetic spheres and geomagnetic spheres, gravitational fields, and some of the activities that's going on out there that's affecting our sun and affecting our planet. These things are very, very, very important. I've talked many, many times on this line about Uranus, the green planet, as I call it. Some call it the blue planet, blue-green planet, aqua. But there there's a lot of that. There is a lot of activity going on that planet, and I'm had a PC. I'm multitasking, and I can't get to both pieces. I'm watching the screen, and I'm talking to you. So I'll give a few more minutes. Elijah, if you could find that piece, I wanted to read that piece about what's actually happening on Uranus while I talked just a moment or two.
Okay.
Here, as I was waiting for Abednego, who was supposed to have been ready to read that piece for us tonight, but I don't see him in the room. So we want to move on, and as quickly as you get it, you let me know. And while you're doing that, I want to take just a brief moment for those of you in Radio Land and those of you who are in the room. Tonight, our hearts are heavy in somewhat of a sense, but rejoicing in another at the transitioning of one of our brothers who has worked with me for a very long time and a number of years in the city there of Oakland in the Bay Area. He went home. He transitioned night before last at 2:30 a.m. And his name, I affectionately called him my brother, T.
Oh.
And as he transitioned and went to the other dimension ahead of us. So I want to take just a brief moment here in this room, and I hope you all will indulge me even to take just a moment or two to, in a moment of brief silence, in honor of Tommy Holmes, who transitioned night before last at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. So just for a moment, if you would, just a silent vibrational meditational prayer in memory of Tommy Holmes. Okay, thank you very much for that moment of memory for him and his honor as we send our vibrations to him. And I think we have a 708 there in the room with us. I don't know if that's Dr. Hoppe or my brother, how are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent, Bishop. How are you?
I'm excellent as well. Many exciting things are going on. It's like Mark Twain, The Tale of Two Cities, the best of times and yet the worst of times. There are some magnificent things going on, and then there are some disturbing things that are going on, and we choose to look at the end and see what it's going to be. But we're glad to have you tonight. We had called for you a little earlier. How's everything going with you?
Everything is well, Bishop. Everything is well.
All right, all right. What's on your heart and on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to share with the audience the need for preparation as we move through the seasons. Now that we're moving into the fall season, heading into the winter, we're supposed to prepare our bodies accordingly. So because the sun is now moving further away from us, and we're not in the zenith of the sun, now we should be preparing our bodies by accessing more hot foods. We should be accessing the peppers. We should be accessing the garlic. We should be accessing the ginger to warm up our bodies on the inside so that the circulation is not compromised, so that the circulation do not slow down, therefore putting more stress on the heart as well as the internal organs. So during this period of time, we should be tying ourselves in with the vibration of the sun and the vibration of the moon. And at this point, the sun, we should be now generating more internal heat. At the same time, most of us would be eating more foods that are of what we call a earthy nature, which would be more root vegetables as well as more carbs. And as we eat that, they generate a certain amount of heat, but because they're acidic, they tend to clog up in our system. And as they clog up, our circulation clogs up. Our breath becomes weak, and as our breath becomes weak, our humor becomes cold. And when our humor becomes cold, that's when the internal circulation becomes cold, and that's when it's very easy to get a cold, to get pneumonia, to get these types of respiratory issues because our internal heat has become too cold. So if we are to align ourselves in with the planetary forces, we want to be generating more internal heat at this time. And so, therefore, we have to intensify our breath also. Our breath must become stronger at this point in time. And so our fire breath must be stimulated more so to increase the power to our internal organs. At the same time, we must focus on alkalizing our body, and we would alkalize our body with the water, the alkaline water. As we alkaline our bodies, it will remove the acid that will stagnate in our internal organs as well as in our joints. And so during this period of time, we lose the heat in our joints as well as our internal organs. So therefore, our internal organs become stagnated, but also our joints become stiff and painful. And so with the preparation at this point in time for us to improve our internal heat and therefore keep our internal heat moving like it was moving in the summertime so that our circulation can be well, our nostrils and our breath can be decreased of congestion, which in this period of time would show up as a person developing more of COPD. If they don't have COPD, during the fall and the winter is when a person's heart become weak and their breath becomes weak, where congestion can build up and they can get a lot of congestion in the lungs, therefore decreasing the flow in the heart, allowing the heart to back up and overwork, which could then cause us to develop congestive heart failure. So during this period of time, it's crucial to adjust ourselves with the planetary forces and to internalize in our diet those foods that are going to increase the circulation, heat up the humor, and cause the circulation to move at a easier pace. So during this period of time, it's very important to increase our iron. So we say, well, where would that iron come from? We say, well, during this period of time, we need to be eating the prunes, the soaked prunes in the fall and the winter. But therefore, those prunes have a certain amount of iron that will bring water to the colon, which will help to move the matter that we will tend to take more of, which is the acidic foods, which would be the beans and the grains and the foods that would heat us up. And so, therefore, we need to increase the iron that would come from the prunes that we should take every morning, or at least at nighttime. So during the night, it is helping our elimination and allowing us to have a wonderful digestion in the morning, therefore helping to move the acid out of our body as the iron heats up our blood. Now, if we do these things and then we intensify ourselves with some herbal drinks like the cloves, so we have to focus on the foods and the herbs that will strengthen our bodies and build our bodies up. And so these herbs, as I said, the ginger, as well as the herbs that will stimulate the brain. The herbs that will stimulate the brain is like the Damiani. The Damiani is a herb that will help to stimulate the brain in the winter and keep the brain very active, along with Gota Kola. And so these are herbs that are used to stimulate the brain, along with the herbs that the Chinese use. And so as we focus on these particular herbs, one of the herbs that men and women could use, but men tend to use it more, is ginger. And so as we focus on these different herbs, we have more of a synergistic effect. We have the effect in the circulation, be it for the internal organs, be it for the joints, be it for the heart, and be it for the brain. And if we focus on these herbs to heat up the circulation, to stimulate the brain, to help the elimination, to heat up the bones, and to allow the breath to not become stagnant, we have a better chance of getting through the winter as well as getting through the fall and the spring without becoming sick. The reason we get sick is our bodies become cold, we lose the heat, we lose the fire, and we get the stagnation in our internal organs. And so then our internal organs back up, the lungs become full of fluids, and it runs a chance of us having a weaker constitution, in which our heart becomes weaker, our lungs become weaker, our immune system become weaker, our digestive system become weaker, our bones become weaker, our elimination becomes weaker. And so in the overall, our brain becomes weaker in the ability to hold thought. And so these particular herbs, these particular foods, if we balance ourselves by getting the alkaline water and keeping a balance of an 80 to 30 intake of alkaline foods, which are more of your stir-fried vegetables, which would be your green vegetables like your kale and like your string beans and your like your Brussels sprouts and foods like your Swiss chard, these type of foods, you would have a better chance to make sure that you're getting adequate chlorophyll and you're getting roughage for your colon. So I wanted to share this with the people, Bishop, and allow them to move through this season whereby it could be a wonderful time to become strengthened, because in the fall and the winter is the time that your body actually is supposed to become more strengthened, so that by the time the spring comes, your body is even stronger. Your breath is stronger, your heart is stronger, your internal organs are stronger, and your bones are stronger. And your body becomes more like a tree where it gets stronger every year. And so if we focus on this, we will have a greater opportunity to get healthier as we move through the years. So I just wanted to share that, Brother Khalif, and allow...
Oh, that's a lot. That's a wonderful piece. That's much information. That you've shared that's so valuable to us, and explains a lot of things that we just don't think about. And we don't take into consideration as the seasonal changes come about. So our bodies also go through seasons, as I understand you to say that we have to make compensations for this. Am I correct?
Correct. And then also in the macabre, we have to focus on the sun during this period of time, because the sun is further away. So we should sit in front of a window whereby the rays of the sun can still get through to us, whereby we could focus on the pineal gland, on the third eye. So we could still be stimulating the third eye during the fall and the winter season. And the macabre could be getting stronger, so that we could be generating the energy in the third eye so that the macabre can become more realized. And so the work within the macabre is something that we should be striving for and working on every day, that regardless if it's summer or winter, that the ability to strengthen the pineal gland and allow the the lining up of the chakras so that our internal forces and powers can become stronger, that that opportunity increases itself, be it summer or winter, if we focus on strengthening the macabre every day. So a lot of us, we might think, well, macabre only needs to be strengthened when the sun is strong in the summertime. But oh no, the macabre needs to be strengthened all year round, just like our breath needs to be strengthened all year round, so that every year our breath becomes stronger, our third eye becomes clearer for us to be able to focus on the third eye and be able to gain more clarity within the third eye so that we can balance our energies better, allow our third eye to open clearer, and allow our internal self to be realized at even a greater level. And so this work, dealing with the macabre, is work that all of us should be doing every day so that our realization can become greater as we gain the time of life. And as this time of life becomes more sacred, our ability to understand the wisdom of this particular work that we call temple building is work that is worthy of us all, but at the same time, it is the most important work. It is more important than everything else in our life, because one of the reasons we're focusing on the macabre and the third eye is we're focusing on the immortal. We're working in the now for the immortal of tomorrow, so that when it's time to give up this physical temple, we reside in the higher temple of the holies of holies, where we are one with the cosmic mind and we're one with the here and the hereafter. As Bishop and Khalif, as you were stating, we were giving a moment of time to the brother who had made his transition. Well, we also have to give a moment of consideration, because he might not have had the focus of time to internalize his macabre. And so now he must come back, make another journey here, so that he can continue the work of working on the macabre, so that he can move to the higher plane that we all deserve to move to, so that when it's time to blast off from this earthly plane, we are already in the spaceship of the divine capsule of the third eye, so that we are already have moved to the higher plane of the immortal. And so this work is the work that we all thrive and strive to do, but it is the most serious work that all of us should be focused on. So I just wanted to share that also, Brother Khalif, that it is internal importance for all of us to be working on the macabre, because we never know when the last breath of life is going to come, and it's time for us to give up this physical temple.
Wow, that is outstanding. We're going to try to leave some room here tonight to tap in and allow you, those of you who are in the audience, if you want, to tap into this great mind of our master of the temple. He's a master of the comedic sciences and wisdoms and knowledge of the temple. And he's given us some very important truths here tonight that we need to embrace, and hopefully we can get those down. I've kind of summarized, we do macabre activation events all year round. And for those of you who are not aware of what macabre is actually three words, Merkaba and Merkaba, depending on how you want to look at it. That word also actually appears in the Bible in various and numerous places. Mer is simply means a rotating light. Light. We are all light beings, L-I-G-H-T, light, photonic beings. We are messenger particles of light, intelligent light that has information. Light is also a vehicle for intelligent communication. Your body communicates with itself through these photonic and electromagnetic neutrons, signals, and circuitry throughout your body, carrying intelligent messages to all parts of your body. And that is Merkaba, Mer, light, rotating light, spinning light, moving, rotating. Ka, of course, is wind. It means it is the spirit, Ba in the Hebrew, and Pneuma in the Greek in the New Testament. Wind, the Christ of Scripture says to Nicodemus that the spirit is like the wind. It blows where it wants. And we do know that the Most High breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So myrrh, light, fire, if you will, photon, intelligent communication, rotating light, wind, and Ba is body. So we are working on this, in short, as an electromagnetic energy field, which is actually inside of this body that we have, operating this body. You are not your body. You are inside of your body, operating your hands, your feet, your heart, this Merkaba field. And actually, the keys to healing, the keys to health and wellness, the keys actually to wealth, is actually control. Once you understand the disciplines of what he's just talked about, and understand and become conscious, and don't run thinking that it's a complicated subject. The Most High did not create you in such a fashion that you could not understand this part of you that is invisible. There is an invisible you inside of the visible you, connecting visible with the invisible, the antimatter with matter, the eternity, if you will, the invincible, immortal you with the temporal and mortal you. Now, the goal of this life is, of course, as we read from a biblical perspective, is to make this transition, and this flesh, this corporal body that we have, is to take it into transition. It is to transition. And by transition, I mean what you see of the Christ in Scripture, who takes a body and goes through various processes of being born, baptized, being crucified, buried, and then after having been buried, raised from the dead, and then he rose. But he also had some kind of special body now that has transcended, that is different from the body he had prior, because now this body is corporal, but yet it's not corporal. He can dematerialize or walk through closed doors. He can participate in banquets and eating, but yet he can ride clouds. He can appear and disappear. So this is what is meant by Merkaba. All of that's involved. And so it is the goal of this experiment at this time to take this particular body and place it through the transmutation by way of pineal gland activation, right brain activation, which stimulates the 90% of your dormant brain cells that opens your Merkaba so that you become that powerful you that you were created to become and to be. And that is the goal. Now, there are those that are standing in the way. There are those who do not want this to happen, do not want to see this to happen. So they work vehemently. They work incessantly. They work incessantly on trying to prevent that pineal gland from activating. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the energies. He mentioned iron, but for those of you that are looking for something to take away from this room, I want to give you seven principles of Merkaba activation. I actually teach 12. but I'm going to give you seven tonight. And Dr. Hapi has covered them, but I want to make it very simple for you. He talked about fire. He talked about the sun. He talked about looking at the sun and being in the sun. You want to try to get as much sunlight directly to the eye's retina in the first hour of sunrise and the last hour before sunset. When the sun is orange and red, that should not hurt you. You want direct sunlight, if you can, free from the obstruction of pollution such as lenses or reflected glass, so forth and et cetera, that will compromise and refract the angles of light that may damage you. So you want to be as close to nature as you possibly can be to look directly. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11 and 7, that light is sweet, and behold, it is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. That word behold means to gaze. It means to gaze into the sun. So direct sunlight into the retina stimulates the pineal gland. Direct sunlight into the retina of the eye stimulates the pineal gland. And you want to try to do that in the first hour of sunrise and in the hour just before sunset. So that's fire. That's one principle. Then he mentioned air. He mentioned breathing. He mentioned breathing techniques. Dr. Hapi is a master teacher at breathing techniques. There are three breathing techniques that I teach. He probably teaches more, but he is a master at teaching these. We teach these in our Macabre Activation. And the breath of life, God breathed into the nostrils of man, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. By man, I mean man, all of man. I speak anthropomorphically. I do not speak in terms of gender. I mean all of man. I mean male and female, so women and men. He breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. Every cell, every molecule, every atom needs this oxygen, this air, this breath of life. And there are special ways that you can breathe. Most of us have learned through conditioning to breathe incorrectly. So fire, air, water. He mentioned water and alkaline water, alkalizing your system to remove free radicals and toxins, heavy metals, and antigens and acids that will harm and clog up your arteries and stiffen your joints. You want your system to be alkalized. Alkalized. And so fire, air, water, and then earth. He mentioned some of the things that come from the earth. Ginger. He mentioned garlic. To heat up the hot, spicy peppers, certain peppers. Red pepper, too. And cayenne pepper, by the way, is a good stimulant for the blood to keep the blood heated. If you notice, if you've ever eaten hot sauce, they have a lot of sodium in there, by the way. I'm not recommending that, but I'm only using this as an example. If you eat something that's very hot, you'll notice that the top of your head will begin to perspire and your sinuses will open. Cayenne pepper heats up the blood. And during this time when the seasonal change is coming in, as he has so stated, you want to keep the heat and the vibration of your energies up by doing these things. So fire, sunlight, air, breathing, water, alkalized, earth. You want these things that he mentioned. And he mentioned something very important, iron. Iron has a very magnetic property so that it will help you to absorb certain energies that are coming in to our planet right now that we intend to talk about in just a moment. But before we get to that, so that's four. That's fire, air, water, earth. But then there's something else that we need to be very, very much aware of. And this is correct thinking. Our thoughts are charged with electromagnetic energies. Your thoughts have electricity in them. Your thoughts can control your emotions. And they can make you cry. They can stimulate your tear ducts. They can stimulate your muscles. They can make you laugh. They can make you dance. They can make you sad. They can make you... Your thoughts are infused with electromagnetic energies. And we need to start understanding that we are, in fact, electrical appliances, basically, in short. as again, as we talked about Merkaba, your body, your physical corporal body is just that. It is a physical corporal body that's being run by this energy you that has all of these wonderful properties. But now your body is a wonderful biochemical electromagnetic factory with all of these processes marvelously and wonderfully blending at the same time. They're coming in, and there's a proper blend between. There's a touch between, as I said, the invisible and the visible. And I could give you some scriptures for that, but I'm trying to move on. And as we look at iron as one of the minerals that will help you to absorb and have magnetism to these energies, and through these breathing techniques, you want correct thinking, correct thinking. Now, there's a difference between correct thinking and positive thinking. Some people teach positive thinking. You can be positive and yet wrong. But correct thinking means, and that takes me to the sixth principle of pineal gland activation and Merkaba right brain activation, is truth. We must embrace truth. The pineal gland responds to truth. It is kind of like a police. It will respond. It knows the difference, people. Your body knows the difference between truth and error, truth and falsehood. Your body knows the difference. Your pineal gland knows the difference between truth and a lie. And there is a different electromagnetic charge that differentiates between truth and a lie, and your body knows the difference. So correct thinking, earth, grounding yourself, making sure, I know it's cold outside sometimes now, but you need to try to get your feet on the ground. You need to try to get your feet on the ground, if no more than 2 to 3 minutes, so that the magnetic energies of the earth can pull in the positive electro energies that are coming down from the upper Merkaba and the lower Merkaba. As you breathe and inhale, you're pulling in the Merkaba from up, and then you're blowing and exhaling out to the Merkaba that is beneath. And that is a wonderful geometric symbol. I wish I had time to deal with that tonight. But now, so we have fire, air, water, earth, correct thinking, and truth. And here is the most vital that I've saved for you, the most vital thing for pineal gland activation. And this pineal gland cannot be deceived. It cannot be tricked. It cannot be manipulated. It cannot be fooled, if you will. The most important element of pineal gland activation is love. Is love. Love. Unconditional love. Love that casts out all fear. Love in spite of what's happening in Ferguson. Love in spite of what's happening with the immigration laws. Love in spite of what's happening. And sometimes we forget the suffering and the pain that's going on abroad, and the murder and the wars and the bloodshed. Those are human beings. Blood is being spilled in this planet. There's so much for us to talk about. So now, let me come back once again and just recap one more time. And I'll start at the top. Love, truth are the two critical elements of pineal gland, right brain, Merkaba activation. Fire, sun, air, breathing, water, making sure that your body is properly hydrated with the right kind of water that's free from fluoride. Fluorinated water. They're placing chlorine, and they're fluorinating our waters. They're placing certain chemicals in our water that act as hardening agents to your pineal gland, lime deposit, calcium deposit, hardening agencies, so that this pineal gland cannot secrete. The pineal gland is an organ that, or a gland rather, that secretes. It secretes melanin, and melanin, from melanin comes melatonin and serotonin, and comes a couple of other hormones that are very essential to our body. But if it is hardened, if it is calcified, then we need to make sure that we do everything and what the good doctor has told us so that we can begin the decalcification process of our pineal gland. Some of us are in better shape than others. Some of us have a long ways to go. Some of us have a short ways to go. But we're going to get there together. And we are here to try to help you to open that pineal gland. Again, the master teacher, Christ of Scripture, said, if your eye is single, your body is full of life. And we have a magnificent, I guess, I don't know, what do you want to call it? We have the proof that your pineal gland and your electromagnetic energy field can be connected to the electromagnetic spectrum. We caught it on camera while here at this location in Greenville, Mississippi, in the month of August. Now, I want to talk just for about 5 minutes about some energies that are coming in from the planet Uranus. The planet Uranus. There are some energies. I hope Alatia is still with me. And if she is, I want her to read to you just a little bit. Let me see if I can find her. So I want to, let's see if she comes back in here.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. There she is. All right. Did you have the piece?
What? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you mind reading to us? You're such a wonderful reader, and I'm having some of the problems with my eyes tonight. So tell us a little bit about what these energies, what's happening on Uranus, and what it means to us.
Well, it's a very strange thing. Even the scientists and astronomers really can't figure out why they're seeing what they're seeing, but they are. And there's massive storms going on. And basically, before I read into this article, I don't know how much you want me to read of it, but these energies are coming in, and there's actually a cloud. There was at the observatory over in Hawaii in the past week, I believe, or so, that they have been able to film some type of an energy body. It's the best way they can describe it, that's on the other side of the sun right now coming in towards us. And then there was the article today that was put out saying that lightning strikes are increasing due to the increased magnetism of the sun. Now, it's very interesting what this lightning does. It actually starts to energize the planet, which also affects our DNA. So lots of interesting things going on out there. Anyway, these massive storms are on Uranus. Astronomers spot vast flashes of light on the icy blue giant at the edge of the solar system. Astronomers have spotted storms raging on the planet Uranus. The storms were first spotted back in August from Hawaii. Now, astronomers have captured storms raging on the normally bland face of Uranus, although the origin of the storms remains a mystery. The storms were first spotted back in August, but more recent images have revealed that they're still occurring. And the cloud activity is so bright that even amateur astronomers, as those that just have your backyard telescopes, have been seeing the signs of it in the blue-green atmosphere of this planet, which is 30 times further away from the sun.
Did you just say blue-green planet?
Mm, I did, yes.
Let's see if we can kind of blend this and lay this article right beside the Bible. This is one reason those of you who are in this room, I've always advocated that you never throw your Bibles away. Now, first of all, there's a cloud happening on this planet called Uranus. Now, what I want to do, just hold your thought there for me a moment, Alaya. I think my minister had to leave the call. I'm going to see if you can hear this word here. This is a very interesting word. First of all, I'm going to read to you out of Revelation chapter 15. Said, and I saw another sign in heaven. Now, that word heaven, I want you to listen to this word. The Bible was not written in English, people. It was actually, the New Testament was written in Greek. Now, I have a wonderful Bible program that actually speaks the Greek language. And I want you to see if you can hear what this word heaven is. If you can hear it, I want you to let me know, Elijah, maybe Dr. Hapi. Let me know if you can hear this. I'm getting ready to press the button, and I want to see if you can hear this word. I pressed it. Listen. Could you hear that?
Yeah, but it's a little muffled.
Okay, I'll try it one more time. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
What did it say? Urano. One more time, listen. Urano. Uranos.
Uranos.
Mm-hmm. Urano. It spells like this. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Uranos. Now, remember now, this is Greek language, not English language. Uranos. So just like the vowel sounds in Spanish is not A-E-I-O-U. It has a different sound or a different phonetic. So transliteration or translating from Greek into English, what word would we get if we said Uranos in English? If we translate the word Uranos from Greek to English, what word would it come out as?
Uranus?
What does it sound like?
Sounds like Uranus.
To you, Aladdin, what does it sound like?
Uranus.
Uranus. Uranos. Uh-huh. You have O-U-R-A-N-O-S, Uranos. And how do you spell Uranus?
Uh-huh.
U-R-A-N-U-S, Uranus, correct?
Correct.
Same word.
Yes.
Only translated from one language to the other. So when you read in your Bible, I hope I'm making this clear. I'm trying to make this as fundamentally clear and simple as I can. So when you read in your Bible, in the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, and the Greeks wrote this, I saw a sign in heaven. The word heaven is Uranus. Let that soak in for a moment. Now, you are telling me, in an article done by, what source is this? Is this a scientific article?
This is dailymail.co.uk.
Wow. And these are credentialed astronomers.
Yes.
And astrophysicists that are telling us that there is something going on in heaven or on Uranus.
Yes.
Wow. I can take my Bible, people, which is current events written in history in advance. It's history, or it's written in advance, if I know how to interpret this. And it says, in this, and I saw great and marvelous seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw it in it as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, what did you call this planet? Did you say an icy planet?
Yes.
Read that portion
again. Green planet.
Read that portion again for me, because I'm just amazed as I listen to you and I look at the 15th chapter of Revelation. I'm seeing a sign in Uranus, heaven in English, and I'm seeing a sea of glass, and you're telling me that this is an icy planet, and they see light mingle with fire. I'm looking at something that was written centuries ago that's describing something that's happening right now in my news, in current events. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Outstanding. Can you see that, or am I seeing that by myself?
No, I see it.
Okay. All right. So read that portion again so that it kind of settles in for the people.
The cloud activity is so bright that even amateur astronomers have seen signs of it in the blue-green atmosphere of the planet, which is 30 times further away from the sun than the Earth. Now, if you look at these pictures, Uranus looks like it's this ball suspended out in space that's a ball of ice, because it has this really shiny hue to it with all these...
So, in other words, a sea of glass.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. I wonder how did they know this back then? Keep reading.
It says astronomers observing Uranus with the Keck telescope in Hawaii detected 8 large storms in the planet's northern hemisphere on August 5 and 6. One was the brightest ever measured on Uranus, accounting for 30% of all light reflected by the rest of the planet at a wavelength of 2.2 microns. This is the color of light that senses clouds just below the tropopause, where the atmospheric pressure is half what it is at the Earth's surface. Later observations by astronomer reveal a bright spot, which scientists believe is evidence of storm activity much deeper in the atmosphere. But interestingly, the extreme bright storm seen by Keck in the near infrared is not the one seen by the amateurs, which is much deeper in the atmosphere than the one that initially caused all the excitement. It is thought this feature is below the uppermost cloud layer of methane ice in Uranus's atmosphere.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. We got about 4 minutes.
Okay.
And I want to try to bring this home. Would you say, in your opinion, that this energy is tremendous force, Elijah?
Yes.
Would you say that this energy is going to have an effect in our solar system?
Yes. According to what they're seeing behind the sun right now, this energy cloud that's coming is coming from Uranus.
So the energy cloud that's coming, that's changing the magnetism of the sun that will affect us, is coming from Uranus. Now, interestingly, the Bible calls heaven Uranus, the kingdom of Uranus, or heaven. These energies, as I have been saying for months now, that will come from the green-blue planet. I just call it green, the gamma rays of the green planet that looks like a sea of glass, according to, and let me tell you people, this is esoteric. You can't take my experience from me. You don't have to accept it. But to me, I know it's reality because I've experienced it, but you don't have to accept it. I have already begun to see new colors in the color spectrum besides the 7 that we normally have. This lets me know that there are some new colors that are coming in because I can see them. I have begun to see the new colors. They are brilliant. I've never seen anything like it. I know that it's a reality because I can see them. I can see them. I can see them, people. And you can see them. You have to, if you know how, if you're taught. That's why these events that we are placing, you need to hurry and register for one of these events. And you need to understand that there are some new color, which means new vibrations. Now, the Bible calls it mentions it like this. It says 7 angels or 7 angles of light or refractions of light. These are new refractions or angles of light, colors or vibrations. And these vibrations have frequency, beats per minute, per second. And these vibrations are electromagnetic. They will have an effect upon everything on the planet. Possibility for new life, for a new kind of life on this planet is now being made possible by this great blue-green planet.